what they're left with is actually empty of meaning and purpose. There's no narrative, no big story to make sense of who I am, what my identity is, what life is for, why I'm here. And so people are searching. They are sort of ignorant of Christ, ignorant of Christianity. Various things, I think, are making people, just some people at least, begin to wonder, might Jesus actually be the answer, not the problem? Or might Christianity actually be the answer, not the problem?
Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIC podcast for leaders and for all kinds of people serving in FIC churches and others. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm the Associate National Director, or one of them, for the FIC. And I'm joined today by Nick McQuaker. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Adrian. Great.
You are the Ministry Director for A Passion for Life.
That is correct.
And we're talking today about reaching out with the good news and how we do that. We're going to talk a little bit about Passion for Life. But it's worth saying, isn't it, right at the outset, that sharing the good news is not a burden for believers. It's a joy, isn't it? And I think we've got to get into that mindset, haven't we?
We have. I mean, I think it's great just actually to think about how thankful we are that somebody told us the gospel.
Yeah, right. We're here.
We're here as Christians.
Mum or dad told, or a friend or a neighbour, whatever it was. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to change that mentality, because I think we so quickly think of the things we can't do, or even perhaps we've had a go and it's not gone well, that it feels like a weight pressing down on us. Whereas actually, it should be a liberty, shouldn't it? We live in a place where we're free to share the gospel, and what a joy to tell people about Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great. Well, we're going to think about that a little bit more, and we're going to think just initially about this moment that we're living in, which seems to be, by all accounts, it's not unique, obviously, but it seems to be different from, I mean, you and I are of a similar age, I guess. And we won't go into the details, but in the time we've been Christians, this seems to be an unusual time. It's been so hard. There does seem to be a moment of opportunity, doesn't there?
I think that's right. Something is shifting in the culture. So as I sort of look back over the past 30 years of ministry, I would say for sort of 28 years or so of that 30-year period, evangelism, it felt hard.
It felt like a grind.
A bit of a grind. A lot of effort, really hard to get into conversation with people about the gospel. The fruit was slow coming. And really quite suddenly, that whole atmosphere seems to be changing.
Well, let's talk about some of the data, but I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I remember first in ministry at a prayer meeting, we would say, let's try and share the gospel with someone this week. And we would, you know, go around the room and sort of say, well, I managed to get in a conversation. I just about mentioned church. And we'd say, yeah, that's great news. We'd be rejoicing in very, very, what appear to be very, very little victories. But there does seem to be this openness. Bible Society have produced some data on that. And Passion for Life have done their own research, which kind of backs that up, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we've done a little bit of national polling ahead of the mission next year, which we're going to be perhaps talking about. We deliberately asked a question that was sort of very similar to the Bible Society question, tried to get the same phrasing about, would you describe yourself as a Christian and you go to church, or you watch a church service online at least once a month? And really, we had quite startling results in terms of the numbers of people who would say, yes, that applies to
startling
them.
Startling in what way?
Just especially with young adults. I can't remember the exact figure, but it was even higher than the Bible Society results. So I think recollection is that with the Bible Society survey, they found with, I think it was 18 to 24-year-olds, that there'd been a fourfold increase in the number of young men who would say that that applied to them. And we found an even higher figure with our survey.
So these are people who are saying they've either been to church or are watching a service online.
Yeah, so they would say that they describe themselves as Christians and they go to church or they watch online at least once a month.
Now, that's fascinating for a number of reasons. One is just the high proportion of people who are responding. But the other thing that fascinates me about it is it's the church service. The ordinary thing, if you like, ordinary, I know it's extraordinary, supernatural, but the ordinary thing that churches are doing that people are tapping into or accessing, it's not a special event. Did you ask the question about events as well, whether people would be prepared to go to something special?
We did. So, I mean, just to say on that point, first of all, we had been sort of hearing so many stories, anecdotes from churches of people just coming on a Sunday. sort of without any prior connection with the church. And then, so we asked them, so my take on that is if there are these people who are finding their way to church uninvited, how many more might come if invited?
Yes.
And we were interested in what sort of thing people would be open to coming to if invited. So we did ask, if invited by a friend or colleague, would you be, would you go to a church service? We asked a similar question about going to a special event where you might find out more about the Christian faith. And there were a significantly higher proportion of people said, yes, they would go to a church service than to a special event.
What's going on there, do you think?
I think that there's an... So I think what's happening in the culture is that there is just... There's a seeking, there's a sense of something missing in people's lives, of a hunger. And I think that spiritual thirst is driving significant numbers of people to sort of seek all over the place. You know, so there is there's evidence of increased interest in sort of paganism and witchcraft, as well as in the Christian religion.
So we shouldn't be naive to think it's just Christianity.
No. Some of those people are sort of finding their way to church. And I think for a long time, the sort of the narrative was that Jesus and Christianity and the church especially is the problem. And all those things that we think are sort of wrong with society, if we could get rid of religion and get rid of Christianity and the church in particular, then life would be better. And that narrative is shifting. So in a sense, there's a sense in which that has been tried. The church and Christianity and Christ have been rejected. And what people are discovering is what they're left with is actually empty of meaning and purpose. There's no narrative, no big story to make sense of who I am, what my identity is, what life is for, why I'm here. And so people are searching. They are sort of ignorant of Christ, ignorant of Christianity, and various things I think are making people, just some people at least, begin to wonder, might Jesus actually be the answer, not the problem, or might Christianity actually be the answer, not the problem? And so some of them are finding their way to church.
It's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, even this week, there seems to be, I think, also an openness to admit that. So even this week, J.K. Rowling, the author, has been quoted as saying, there's a God-shaped vacuum in my life. You know, and as she pursued that, she couldn't work out how to fill it. And I'm crying out thinking, I know how to fill it. But yeah, she couldn't work out how to fill it. But being willing to admit that, that feels like a step forward as well.
It is. Absolutely.
It is extraordinary. And that now that means, so we're recording this on a Friday. That means you're having a church weekend this weekend at your church. We're having a church weekend, so we're not having normal services where we are. But that means for us, the ordinary church Sunday, the Sunday where the people of God are gathering, they're singing together, they're praying together, they're sitting under God's word together, they're spending time together. That thing that each church is doing, small or large, sometimes well or not so well, that's an evangelistic moment.
It is, absolutely. So I think in terms of if the seeking is that is going on, I think it's not only a seeking after what may be true, seeking after truth, but actually it's a sort of a seeking for answers in terms of what will make sense of life and what will actually make life work and what will make life meaningful. So there's not only seeking what's true, but what works. And so as Christian believers, in a sense, we not only need to argue for the truth of Christianity, we actually need to show that it works.
So people aren't coming because they think they're missing Jesus?
No.
So you asked a question about that, didn't you, in the survey?
So we did ask a question about... So let me just finish what I was just saying there in terms of what works. So I think does the gospel work? Well, in a sense, to answer that question, you've got to look at the fruit. And what is the fruit that the gospel produces? It's not only an individual life transformed. It is the church.
It's a
community that's brought into being by the gospel.
It's a family.
So if people come on a Sunday, they're not only encountering the Word of God as they hear the preaching, and they hear Christian truth through the songs and the hymns and so forth, but they're encountering the people of God. They're seeing the fruit the gospel produces. And so people need to see that, and we need to recognize in a sense that the church is the showcase of God's wisdom. In bringing the church to being through the gospel and through the death of His Son and the gift of the Spirit, so let's just recognize the evangelistic power, not only of the preached word, but as it were the lived testimony of the church. But
thank you. Which means what happens before the church service, what happens after the church service.
Yeah.
These are quite key moments as well, evangelistically, as well as how good is the sermon, how good is the singing, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So it's not just coming to a service, it's encountering the family and how the family behaves, you know, putting the chairs out and welcoming people and making the coffee. And then afterwards, that is, in many ways, don't want to say necessarily as important, but it's certainly an important component of what people encounter and experience as the service itself and the preached word. Yeah.
Fascinating. Fascinating.
But people aren't. So they are looking maybe for answers, looking for what works, as you mentioned, not necessarily looking for God. And we did, so we asked a question around what people would say was missing from their lives. And
right.
We gave them lots of options, different things they might say.
How many options did you give people?
So I think there were about 16 or 18 options.
Okay, and was one of those God? And
one of
Jesus
those words was God. So it included words like meaning and purpose and freedom, security, purity, forgiveness, and God. And
and what scored highly?
So the three things that sort of scored most highly consistently across men and women, different age groups, different social grades, were purpose, freedom, and security.
Right, purpose, freedom, and security. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because those are all things that you would say are core elements of the gospel life, core elements of what it means to be a Christian. But people might not make those connections.
No. So about one in three people would say that to some extent, at least, their lives lack purpose. Hmm.
But that's a huge proportion.
It's a huge proportion.
Them so many options.
Yeah. And I think that was whichever way we analyze the data, I think that came out top.
Is that the same across different groups, different ages, different places in the UK, all those kinds of questions?
Yep. So looking at it, whether you break it down by age or different the countries and regions that make up the UK, different social grades. Purpose comes out top, but when it comes to would people say that God is missing from their lives, only about 4% would say that.
Right. Okay.
So people.
So we know that they're lacking purpose and a sense of freedom and meaning because they lack a living relationship with Jesus. Frankly.
Yeah.
But they don't know that.
So I think it's our job to join the dots for them.
Yeah.
To actually sort of show them how the reason their lives lack purpose and freedom, security, these other things, is because they actually don't know the God who made them.
Right.
And they're estranged from Him, and that they need to know Him through Christ who came, that their sins might be forgiven.
That has fascinating implications for mission.
Yeah.
And as we begin to think about Passion for Life and the Life 2026 mission around the time of Easter, I guess in my mind, as a church leader, I'm thinking events.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about what do we put on extra? What do we put on special? And it may be appropriate to do that. Maybe we'll come back to that. But from what you're describing, it doesn't necessarily follow that a time of mission to which we commit must mean super duper events.
Yeah.
It can mean all kinds of things.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, a mission means doing something.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
It's not just
saying all of life is mission. It's being intentional.
I found it helpful, and I got this from somebody else, but I think if we think of evangelism as telling people the good news of Jesus, then it's helpful, I think, in this context at least, to think of mission as our endeavor to do evangelism.
Okay.
And so we want to be on mission all the time. We want to be doing endeavoring to do evangelism, whether that's the conversation in the workplace or whether it's the invitation to come to a church gathering. And then a mission is simply a sort of a season of special endeavor to do evangelism.
Okay.
And when we think about doing evangelism, it's not just laying on an event. It's perhaps better to just step back from that and think, what do we want to do? We want to create opportunities for people to encounter the Word of God and the people of God. You know, and that could be going out and knocking on people's doors and having a conversation. Mm. And there in that moment, the non-Christian is encountering two of God's people.
Yeah.
And there may be opportunity in that conversation to say something of the Word of God. But equally, well, our Sunday gatherings are an opportunity to encounter the Word of God and people of God. So what I would say as we think about a mission is, if it's going to be meaningful, there's going to need to be some sort of special endeavor.
Yeah. But endeavor might just be going out and knocking on
doors. So that endeavor might not be doing lots of new things that we don't normally do.
No.
But actually making a special effort to invite people to the things that we do.
Right.
So making our, I think it'd be great just to think, as we think about, if a church leader is just beginning to think about what they might do as part of the mission in March of next year, the Life 26 mission, begin by thinking, how could your existing Sunday gatherings, existing activities, existing ministries, how could they be part of the mission? How could the church make extra effort to invite people into those things, and where people are already coming to those things, perhaps making that extra effort to give testimony to Christ and the difference Christ makes in our lives, and to extend the invitation into some opportunity to learn more, to hear more, to encounter
now that's
more God's word.
That's liberating for me as a church leader, because it is both intentional, it's good, but it's also incremental.
Yes.
It's not necessarily saying, I've got to go, I'm already working at 100%, I've got to add in another 100%.
Actually,
it's taking the things I'm doing and it's working in increments, isn't it?
It's
leveraging those, to use like management speak, in terms of the way we're reaching out.
And I think that also there could be more of a lasting legacy from it as well.
Go on.
In the sense that, I don't want to say don't do additional events.
No.
Okay.
No.
So there could be very good reason to do some extra things.
Yeah. And some churches will do those very well.
And
they'll be great.
But what's really, really important, I think, is if you do some extra things during the mission period, that those extra things join up to the regular things.
Right. Okay.
And that you make good use of the regular things as part of your mission, because part of the legacy could then be beyond the mission week or the month of mission, whatever you do, is actually on an ongoing basis, those regular ministries actually have more an evangelistic focus and edge to them that gets established as part of the culture of the church, where, suppose you have things going on in the life of the church, like a toddler group or a coffee morning for older folk, a ministry with young people, and you make those part of your mission during the mission period, and you make sure that within that context there's an interview with somebody about how they found hope in Jesus, or an opportunity for someone to give testimony, or there's a special talk, and then an invitation to come on Sunday and find out more, or to some other next step. If you do that during the mission period, there's no reason why you couldn't carry on doing that sort of thing in the toddler group, in the coffee morning, on a regular basis, and it becomes part of the regular evangelism as well as what you did during the mission.
Yeah. So you're actually establishing new and better patterns.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a bit more about Passion for Life. We're recording this middle of September. Mm. Easter next year is at the beginning of April.
Yep.
So we're talking about events, or we're talking about an effort that might lead up to Easter next year. What ought we as church leaders to be thinking about now? This is preparation time, right? So what sort of preparation should we be doing, and how should we be going about it?
Yeah, well, let's call it prayer and preparation time.
Okay, well,
I'm sure you're coming to prayer. But this is a time when we want to be praying about what we should be doing and talking and preparing. So I think... This is a great time to gather together. I think maybe a small group of people, those who are heading up different ministries in the church, which would link the, you know, how can those existing ministries be used as part of the mission? They can feed into that, as well as those who have a real particular burden and passion and heart for evangelism, to come together and talk about how can we make the most of this opportunity. And I think so. The earlier we can start that, the better. So that we can, without feeling, you know, overpressurized by the timescales, we can do some thinking about it and begin to do some planning and preparation, but also thinking about how do we envision the church, how do we get the church praying about the mission, how do we get the church excited about the mission, share the vision for it,
and the opportunity for it, and the opportunity. Given what you just said, because I think you know, I've enjoyed hearing some of those stats about people being willing to engage, willing to come along to church. I think some people, especially those of us who live in that sort of Christian cocoon, we're still slightly surprised and bemused by that. We can't quite believe it, but it does seem to be borne out. So we need to energize people with the potential as well, don't we?
We do. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I think so. I think often the biggest problem can actually be the sort of the reluctance in our own hearts, which has perhaps been reinforced by, as we've talked about, those sort of, you know, years of experience where it's been such hard going that actually
become a bit cynical, perhaps,
or maybe, and can we really pick ourselves up again to have another go? And actually, just let's. I mean, we want to be confident in the power of the gospel all the time. Whatever the season, but let's recognize the encouragement of this season and say, hey, it's really worth going for it. And see what the Lord might do.
Yeah. Now let's talk about resources. One of the things I really valued about Passion for Life last time around was just some excellent training resources. In a sort of, people are too young now to remember Woolworths Pick and Mix. You and I remember Woolworths Pick and Mix. But, you know, so what I valued last time around is in our small group, when I was in East London, we were choosing certain videos to watch that were relevant to us, relevant to our context, that were helping us train. There's a new set of videos, but it's the same idea, isn't it?
Same idea. Yeah. So for those who don't remember Woolworths, perhaps think of a box of chocolates where you pick out the ones that you really like.
Bring back Woolworths, I say. That should be the campaign.
So we produced this new set of 29 videos with leaders' guides that go with them. So for each one, you know, you've sort of got the material for an hour small group session with a 20-minute video as part of that. So there's 29, and you can pick, you know, as a church leader, you got sort of, it's very, very flexible. It's very adaptable to different contexts to pick out the sessions which you think would be most relevant and helpful to the church at this time. But we also recognize that maybe some church leaders just want some help, some guidance in how best to do that. So we've also come up with six recommended series that they are varying lengths, and each of these sort of recommended series has a particular focus.
So one
for instance is we just call it equipping, and it's some of the core sessions that would equip people, encourage and equip people for personal witness, just six sessions. And then we've done another series called Equipping Plus, which is 12 sessions, if you've got a bit more time.
And the sorts of subjects that would be in those?
There's a range of subjects from sort of, there's a whole category which are called Beginning with the Bible. Lots of the Bible teaching that's related and relevant to evangelism from God's big plan through, you know, God's word in evangelism, prayer in evangelism, the Holy Spirit in evangelism, that sort of material. And then there are other sessions which have more of a practical focus in terms of connecting with people. The basics of Christian witness is a category called starting out. So things like just telling your story, inviting to church, making the most of courses and events. So each of the mini series that we've sort of recommended would use a variety of biblical and practical sessions. They're just some help, some guidance, and none of those are church leaders shouldn't feel constrained by that. So you might choose one of those recommended series, but you might make your own swap out one session,
so
put another session in.
So it's up to me to access. You know, it's not a fixed course. It's up to me.
And we've also I mean, another very effective way of using these resources could be more to sort of just drip feed them into the life of the church over an extended period of time. So we've also done a plan where you could use all 29 resources over a 1 to 3 year period.
Okay.
So they're divided into sort of 5 half-term blocks. If you could do that in a year, you could do it over 2-3 years. So that you're just over time, you're trying to develop that culture of evangelism.
Yeah. Which, of course, is part of leadership in church life. We want to try and embed that into church life, not just make it a special season. There's a usefulness in a special season, but you want it to become a lifetime thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd love people to see these resources, not just as, oh, here's some resources we need to use before the mission. Yes, it's great to use them. You know, if there's a mission coming up, that's a great context for saying, hey, let's do some evangelism training or some personal witness training. But these resources should have a shelf life well beyond March of next year and could go on being used over the years to come.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I value also about Passion for Life is some good marketing materials, good publicity materials that you can access and tap into, because people don't always have the skills to do those themselves.
Yeah.
There's value in that, isn't there, for us?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you would say that, but
I would say
there is value in it, I think. Not a question, statement.
Well, I think especially, a whole sort of mission campaign identity has been developed. A lot of thought, a lot of work has gone into that. So this is sort of a campaign that's built sort of in visual terms. It uses everyday objects with something essential.
So there's
missing.
A watch with no hands,
a teapot with no spout, step ladder with no rungs.
You've been to my house, have you?
That's right.
You've seen
I've tried
things.
To pour from that teapot. and then it's asking the big question: ever feel like something's missing?
Yeah. Okay.
And then there's a sort of strap line, find the life you're looking for, find life in Jesus. But it's adaptable, so you can swap out the word life for another word, like find the peace you're looking for, find life in Jesus, find the hope you're looking for, or find the purpose, whatever word the church leader wants to put in there that expresses a blessing of the gospel. And I think that sort of... So this can be, there'll be a whole sort of set of adaptable, customizable templates for both for print advertising and digital advertising.
Okay.
This sort of material, I think, is really helpful just for sort of advertising the mission in public spaces. You know, I live close to a railway station, and every time I go to the train station, I walk past this big billboard, and I just sort of every time I imagine seeing one of our, you know, big mission posters.
Billboards are actually more reasonable than people think.
They are. I've tried to do a bit of research on it, and it is within, you know, the realms of church budgets. So both sort of that public advertising and good, I know as a church member, you know, when I'm trying to invite people to things, actually how if something in my hand I can give somebody or something digital, you know, on WhatsApp that I can share that is visually engaging but clear about what it's about, is really helpful to me in inviting. But I think in terms of that public advertising as well, something else for us to be mindful of is that the survey showed that 50% of the population would say that they don't know a Christian personally.
Hmm.
Okay, so personal witness, you know, reaching the people that we know, that's really, really important.
Yeah.
But how are we going to reach the half of the population that we don't know, who currently don't know us? And that's where... that might be a hard thing for us to be doing all the time. I think that's where a mission could be really helpful. And so let's make an effort to reach, not just to reach our friends and contacts and colleagues and neighbours, but to reach the people that...
So spending every weekend door knocking, that feels a bit out of reach. But actually here's, in the lead up to Easter 2026, why not spend a couple of weekends knocking on doors, inviting people to church, using the material?
Yeah. And I think if we go back to that spiritual hunger, if there are, you know, there's this growing evidence people are hungry, they are seeking answers. They are seeking all over the place. And in so many of those places they are going, what they are being given is fake food, false food, poisonous food. We have the real food because we know Jesus. We can offer them the bread of life.
Isn't that wonderful?
And that's the joy. But we want those people who are seeking, so imagine that person who's going to catch the train. They go every day to commute to work, they catch the train, and inwardly they're seeking, they're hungry, and they sense that, and they could end up anywhere, but we want them to find the real food.
Yeah.
So imagine if on that billboard they see, find the purpose you're looking for, find life in Jesus, and then that resonates with them. So on that advertising, all the advertising will link to a national website, findlifeinjesus.org. Okay. And so they can they can go onto the website, they'll be able to pop in their postcode, and hopefully find a church near them that will tell them more about finding life in Jesus. And that means that we're helping that hungry person, that seeking person that maybe we don't have any relationship with, actually to find the real food, because they find a church where Jesus is on.
Tell us quickly, Nick, how can we access that?
So
I'm interested in that as a church leader.
Yeah. Go to passionforlife.org.uk. Don't forget the A. It's A, Passion for Life.
Or you can just
Life.
Google it. It's a top. It's a top hit.
A top hit. Good to know that. So go on to that. You'll find out all the information about the mission, the campaign identity, the resources. And then if a church wants to sign up to join the mission and get access to the resources, then we're just asking that they affirm the Evangelical Alliance basis of faith and a statement that we put together on just a orthodox biblical view of sex and marriage, and a statement about evangelism. If they can affirm those things, and
which I think you said to me earlier, every FIC leader already.
I would hope that every FIC
church
leader would
be able to join the FIC.
Would be able to affirm those things. Would joyfully affirm those things.
Yeah.
So that we've got confidence that those who are participating in the mission are on the same page in terms of the gospel. Then there's a subscription fee to sign up for an annual subscription. It's only £90 for a year.
I've seen some of the resources. For the resources you get, it's great value.
And that will give you, as a church, a whole year of unlimited downloads of the training resources, access to the mission campaign resources. There's lots of guidance on there about planning your mission, ideas for different events and ministries as well.
Great. Nick, thank you very much. You've energized us. You've enthused us. I think you've given us confidence that, the little bit of it's a little bit extra on what we're doing at the moment. It's not it's a push. It's intentional. But we're not saying to people, you've got to double what you're doing. It's just making the most of what you're already doing. So thanks so much for joining us. Passionforlife.org.uk. Yeah. That's the place to go. Thanks very much for joining us, too, on Independence. And if you like the podcast, if you rate and review, that'll help other people find it. We'll catch up with you soon.